Good morning. Good morning. I beat you. Good morning. Good morning. Wonderful. It is great to hear all these wonderful voices in here. Before we get started, I just have to show up honestly real quick. So I need some grace for those of us who are here and for you who are watching online. Good morning to you as well. Glad you're here and watching on demand. My contacts are bothering me. And I'm not sure if it's just dry because of the weather change or whatever else, but, you know, please just give me a little bit of grace sometimes with my notes. Hopefully, you know, the Lord divinely does something that I can seek 2020 vision for everything that I need. And then also, you know, it's really, one of the things that's interesting to me, and again, this is not in the notes, but it's just a thought that crossed my mind. It's crazy when you come to church and you see people that you know outside of church, and then you got to speak, and they haven't witnessed you in this capacity before, at least to my knowledge. And so I had that experience today. So I don't know, between the last 10 minutes, a little level of nervousness just hit me, like, what in the world am I going to say? You know, their family's here. I'm not going to embarrass them, but their family's here. But all that to say, in my thought bubble, as Rusty would say, is just like, Lord, please help me get my life together so I can be used. So anyway, that being said, before we get in, and thank y'all for letting me have that authentic moment. Before we get into it, I want to pray, because there's a lot going on in this world, and just want to join in with the prayers of other folks, other followers of Christ around the world, just with things that are happening. So if you wouldn't mind bowing with me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be together with folks who are hungry for you, interested in growing in you, knowing more about you. And Father, I thank you for how you use today's message for all of us to grow closer. Just lift up before you and join in with the prayers of other believers, other followers of you, Lord, around the world for all the issues that are happening, that you would move and that you would touch significantly. God, for those of us who know you and who are in these spaces, especially in the space of decisions, God, I pray that you would use us to speak your wisdom to inform leaders and to be able to help others, Lord. And for those who are without and who are in need and who lack, for those that I pray that the local community, those around them, God, can just be of service without strings attached, that they could serve and help meet those needs and be a reflection and extension of your love for all people, knowing that they're seen, that you love them, and that you care for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, family. So real quick, brief introduction. My name is Brandon Pendleton. I am a volunteer here at New Hope. I serve on the leadership team and also the teaching team. On the teaching team, that is led by our senior pastor, Rusty Corum. So there's my accountability. I'm under his tutelage in that whole process. To that point, if this is basically not your regularly scheduled program. So if by chance, so you can look at this moment as almost like those online videos, you know, when you're watching YouTube, or if you have a Hulu account, you know, when the ads come up and you can't click that skip button, you can just look at it like that. You got to sit through it, and we'll get through it together, and then Rusty will be back finally for the other programming. But no, I say that honestly, jokingly. It's really an honor to serve and to be a blessing. But just in fact, if I'm not necessarily your cup of tea or whatever beverage you prefer, do not talk to me, do not email me, don't call me, talk to Rusty and Kim. No, I'm just joking. All right. So we are in week two of a 7-week series of a church-wide study based on the book called Created to Dream by Rick Warren. Rick Warren is a former pastor of a church out in California called Saddleback Church. If you're familiar with the book called The Purpose-Driven Life, that is, he's the author of that book. And quite frankly, my assignment today, that's the best way I can put it, my assignment here is really just to encourage everyone to join in on the fun or continue the journey that we're doing with this church-wide study. And the best way I know how is just to honestly share what God is doing in my life, all aligned with Scripture. So I pray that the Lord uses the testimony to be something that encourages everyone. Real quick on church-wide studies, I think this will be a fun fact. And by no stretch of the imagination, this is a shameless plug for small groups. So I really appreciate just the fact of when we do church-wide studies, it's an opportunity to take what we do on the weekend and also pair that together with all the small groups and leaders that we are all aligned on one accord, focused on a topic. And so I just want to share with everyone a quick picture of the small group that my wife Adoee and I have been blessed to join. Honestly, we joined this group last year at the last church-wide study, and it's been a blessing that, you know, we weren't too much of a disruption, that they extended the invitation for us to continue the journey with them and just building regularly. But I'm very thankful for these folks. There are a few people missing from the screen. But, and quick shout-out to the gentleman on the top right. I call him Ed the Theologian, because Ed was kicking knowledge this past Tuesday where we had a small group. But it was a good time. But all that to say, going through this church-wide study, and the conversation we were having in that moment was very rich. It was basically it was a segue into the actual study. We were recapping what Rusty had discussed last Sunday, and someone threw a joke. Most likely, I might have been the butt of the joke, but it's okay. But we had a good laugh together, and then later in the conversation, we were talking about celebrating God's creativity. And what do we appreciate most? And one member of the group, I believe Jen Rollins, she mentioned her appreciation for God's biodiversity. And I was like, that's a good word. That sounds like a good SAT word. And I was like, And so what was cool was then I found out that we actually have a resident, let me get the word right, we have a resident malacologist. I'm not sure if you all know what that is, but it's a person who studies slugs and mollusks and snails and clams, basically, in Megan Matheny. It was great, because Megan mentioned what's called sea snails, or the actual term is called nudibranchs. And so what you're going to see is some of this amazing pictures of just biodiversity in the slugs, like basically a slug, difference between a sea slug and then a slug that you see in your backyard or your garden. You can just cycle through those. So thank you so much. But honestly, I really appreciate growing with these folks, these community of believers. And honestly, I feel like being connected allows us to experience what the Bible talks about. It's like in Acts chapter 2, when people come together on one accord and they're focused on the Lord, they're looking to grow closer to Him, we get opportunities to see God show up in authentic ways, to see God show up in very tangible ways, in very real ways, and we also get to see true change in our lives. So again, shameless plug for small groups, and just very thankful so much for each of them and just as we grow and learn. So real quick recap from last week. Last week, Rusty opened up the series with a few points. They're not in your notes, it's not gonna come on the screen, but I just wanna highlight them. Rusty opened up the series talking about how God created the whole universe and then uniquely created us in His likeness. And then he also pivoted to when we accept Jesus, we are on our way to discovering His purposes and plans for us. And when my life and my dreams align with God, nothing is impossible. As we stated, the focus of this week is to talk about phase one of this growing faith, which is called dreaming. And so, and the definition that we're using at church for the word dream is, it's a faith-inspired goal or purpose. A dream is a faith-inspired goal or purpose. That is our context. But what is faith, and why is it so important? I think the best definition that we get for today will be Hebrews 11, starting at verse 1. It says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can see. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. And that's the first point, that as we lean into what faith is and why it's so important, is that faith, it is to trust and depend on God. Faith is to trust and depend on God. And then the beauty of this is, it's not just that one side of it. God responds to our faith. God isn't just chilling on the side like, okay, yeah, just believe in me, whatever, whatever. But God actually takes an active role that as we put our trust in him, as we rely and lean into him, put our full dependence on him, for those who like to play poker, we put all our chips in on him, God responds to that. There's a story in the Bible in John chapter 11. It's a story of Lazarus. And I think it's a great example about having faith and also God responding. And even keeping in mind this definition that we have of dream, that dream is a faith-inspired goal or purpose. Keep that in mind. So in John chapter 11, we hear a story about Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus, and the story starts out where Lazarus was sick, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent the message to Jesus because they basically wanted Jesus to come fix the problem. Jesus, come heal my brother, because he's not doing very well, and you have the power to do it. That's basically the message, right? What's funny about that time frame, if we compare it to our time, there was no social media. So it wasn't as if they were posting online, hey, my brother's not doing well, I could use your prayers. And somebody can just like, click, send a broken heart. No, they actually had to send a resource to go find Jesus, locate him, and pass the message. So Jesus gets the message, and he goes, I'm not really concerned. I'm not really worried. Because why? Jesus already knew the purpose behind Lazarus being sick. Scripture tells us that Jesus said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. Jesus told him that when he received the message. Jesus said it happened for the glory of God so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. It was to confirm that Jesus truly is who he said he is, that he is the Messiah. This was one opportunity, the one instance that God, there was an ordained purpose for a person to be sick, and it was his friend Lazarus. So what does Jesus do instead? When he gets the message, he decides, I'm going to wait a couple of days. Unlike us, possibly for some of us, we would have been like, we need to figure out how when we need to get there. But because Jesus knew what the reasoning behind his sickness, Jesus did not worry about it. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells the disciples, Lazarus has just fallen asleep. And now, what we're going to do, we're going to go and we'll just go wake him up. So the disciples, they say, well, Jesus, if Lazarus is asleep, well, then just he'll get better. He'll be fine. And it's like, and the side note in chapter 11 is this, at the time where Lazarus lived, people wanted to kill Jesus. So the disciples were trying to look out for Jesus and say, hey man, you may not want to go, bro. You may want to stay put. If Lazarus really is just sleeping, he'll be better in a couple of, he'll be fine in a little bit. We need to make sure we keep you good to go. So Jesus gets annoyed and he basically tells the disciples like, hey, Lazarus is dead, y'all. And we have to go. Because they have to see this. There's a miracle. There's something in this with me going. And I find what's interesting about that text is God's perspective sometimes with our situations is so different than ours. Jesus figuratively says, this guy is asleep. Knowingly, he's dead, but he didn't speak clearly until the disciples were misconstruing what Jesus was saying. They didn't quite get what he was saying in that. They took him more literally in what he was saying versus looking into the miracle that he was going to bring. So then they go. And when he arrives, Jesus is met by Martha, one of Lazarus' sisters. And what's interesting is when Martha saw Jesus, she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Lazarus dies. And remember, she sent the message, and Lazarus is Jesus' friend. He sent the message. Jesus waits 2 days. Lazarus is dead for 4 days, and as Scripture tells us. And when Martha sees him, she responds honestly, but also in faith, which is different than how her sister responds. Because what happens with, as you read chapter 11, you'll see Martha and Jesus have some dialogue, and Jesus leans in more into Martha's faith. He starts asking her some questions, and ultimately he gets to this number one point. "Martha, do you believe?" And she says, "Absolutely." I'm paraphrasing. "But yes, I believe." Her sister Mary, not quite like Martha. Mary shows up and sees her, and Mary says, "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." And puts a period on it. She leaves it alone. Different than Martha. Martha added faith to that statement. Mary's situation was Mary was hanging out with all the people who were mourning the loss of Lazarus. And they were all, you know, doing their traditional response to when someone dies. The funny thing about it is, when you see in Scripture, the Bible says when Jesus sees this, he gets angry and agitated. We're talking about faith. Because by the time you reach John chapter 11, there's a lot of people in that whole environment who have seen Jesus do miracles. They've seen him affirm time and time again of who he is and his purpose on this earth. But yet still, when he shows up, that specific group of people, their faith is not quite where it needs to be. So then, here go my contacts, y'all. Be careful with me. So then Jesus asked them, "Hey, tell me where Lazarus is. Take me to where he's at." And the group of people who are mourning, they see Jesus show up, and they see Jesus when the stone rolls away, they see Jesus cry. That's that whole, you know, shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept, right? And then someone has the audacity to say this: "We've seen this man heal a blind man, but he couldn't even save his friend from dying." Faith. We see in that moment Jesus' humanity, as well as his divinity. I was talking with another one of our brothers in the church in between services, and he brought up the good point, which was God being God, and Jesus being who he was, part of him crying, some people say they interpret that to be he was frustrated and sad that the people's faith wasn't where it needed to be with the moment. Another interpretation is the fact that in his humanity, Lazarus was his friend. So when he saw the tomb removed, Jesus being 100% human, had a moment where the situation was real. Be as it may, Jesus never questioned who he was and why he was there. So what Jesus decides, Jesus just tells him basically, he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And then we see Lazarus, the Scripture tells us Lazarus comes out in his little mummy, you know, walks out. I'm not sure that's how he looked, but hey, we'll stretch it a little bit. But Lazarus comes out and Jesus tells him, "Take off those grave clothes. This man has been resurrected." God responding to our faith. It's amazing to see that Martha was the first person, between her and her sister. Martha was the one who met Jesus first. And it was awesome to see that Martha led in with faith, even though the circumstance was not what she wanted. And a quick side point. I know so some people, the question will be, well, Brandon, why would you use a story about a man dying, and we're talking about faith and being created, the dream? Why would you use that? Because, you know, it seems like it will be a message about healing and God's healing power. And while I do agree and believe in divine healing, that's not the scope of this. The purpose is to talk about the importance of us keeping our full trust and reliance on God, regardless of our circumstances. I've shared with you all on a few times when I've spoken this year that 2023, and this is a biblical word, as much as 2023 has been a beautiful set of experiences, great rain, great high moments, 2023 has sucked for me and my family. It has sucked. It's hard. It's frustrating. But God is faithful. In looking at this in scripture and seeing how Jesus got agitated for the lack of faith that people had, even the disciples couldn't even discern what Jesus was talking about resurrecting Lazarus. I have got to remember that on this journey and following him, it is so important for us to lean in to our faith and our reliance, our full trust and reliance in him. And as we lean in, God responds to that. If you read Matthew chapter 13, you'll see in there was a statement, depending on what translation of the Bible you use. There's a statement in there that talks about how Jesus didn't perform many miracles because of their lack of faith. Faith is critical in order for us to grow and to see God move, as we've read in Hebrews 11:6. Faith has to grow over time. I reference Martha and Mary and even the disciples because by the time we reach them in the text of John chapter 11, they've witnessed a lot of things. They've witnessed a lot of miracles, a lot of truth, things that they were hearing about. Jesus was constantly confirming it, that he was who he was. So by the time they reach Lazarus, he's like, hey, you still got to have faith. If you read scriptures, you'll hear Jesus say to him, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You've seen it. I am who I am. But suppose you're a person who may not believe in this Jesus thing. That's cool. And you're still kind of checking it out and trying to do homework on it. That's cool. What's powerful about that is Jesus even talks about the power of mustard seed faith. Just the smallest piece of faith out there. And he says, if you just have faith in the littlest thing, if you trust and rely on me, the littlest seed of faith, you can move mountains. Powerful, man. We have to lean into our faith. Another point to make is that faith is nurtured by action. Faith is nurtured by action. In James 4:8, the first half says, and when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. It's like any relationship, whether it's a relationship with your boo thing, your sweetheart, you know, that person, you know, your Valentine, whatever, or just anyone you share interests with. You make an effort, they make an effort. You make an effort, they make an effort, and you move closer together along on the journey. Scripture talks, in any relationship, the same applies with God. You move closer to him, he moves closer to you. He draws you to him, you lean into him, he'll lean in more into the relationship. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word about Christ. What nurtures our faith in Christ is hearing the same. It's the confirmation of the truth that we hear. Seeing these things in action. Hearing some scripture that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, that's a challenge to me. What things can I pray about that I could put in God's hands and see God move? I remember weeks before this study came out, I literally was praying one day I was at home in my office, and I said, God, I need help with my faith. And the next thing I know, I hear the announcement about this book at New Hope, that we're doing this thing called Created to Dream. And it's all rooted in growing our faith. in the whole process of things. And as, if you've already read the first chapter and this, and Rusty went through the different phases, I was like, Lord, are you playing a trick on me? Because this year has sucked. And it's amazing to see there's so much within these phases that I feel like I've already experienced, my family and I have already experienced. Because there's still something telling me, hold on. I have a divine purpose behind the things that you're experiencing. In James chapter 2, we're going to go with verse 26. It says, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. The reality of the matter is this. If you have faith, it'll be evident within the actions that we bring. If we have faith, it's evident in our actions. If I believe my mom and dad will provide for me, I will continue to operate in a way as a dependent to which I lean into them to support me. It's no different. If I'm believing God and I'm praying for change in my life, as God brings insight and direction, I lean into what he's telling me and how he's leading me, even in the midst of the discomfort sometimes. So this, like as I said before, this whole message is to encourage folks to continue the journey as well as join in if you're not currently involved in a small group or within the study. Because the bottom line is this, family. When we draw closer to God, we are on our way to discovering his shape and dream for us. Rick Warren uses a framework that he calls, and it's all an acronym, for the word shape and for the word dream. Shape is identifying these factors in us that make us who we are, the spiritual gifts, our hearts, or the abilities, personality, the different set of experiences we have. But the dream aspect is more how we figure it out, how we understand that God is the one guiding the ship in our lives. It's the D in dream stands for dedicating our life to God. The R is about reserving time alone with God. Again, in any relationship, if I really value the relationship, I make time. The E is evaluate my abilities. As I'm getting closer to God, he's going to show me things and reveal things to me about myself through community with other like-minded believers. And that's when I lean in more and understanding more about myself in accordance to what God's word says. Then there's this aspect of fellowship, associating with godly dreamers, other like-minded people who are in the same pursuits. We get so much energy off of each other. We get fueled and inspired by one another as we begin to hear other folks as they're seeking and the different pieces of revelation that they get about themselves, and knowing that, as scripture says, that God is no respecter of person, the same opportunity is available to us to do this, is available for us. So again, lean into building with other godly dreamers. And then lastly, this aspect of making your dream public. Communicate it. Sharing it with people, speaking it out loud. Now, I'll caveat it with, and just Miss Brandon's opinion, to just, you know, again, if you've got a problem with it, talk to Rusty and Kim. But making your dream public. I heard a pastor, he used, and you know these wonderful speakers, they always have these creative ways to communicating something, very similar to like Rick Warren did with this framework. But when it comes to communicating your dreams, he talked about that God brings basically three types of people into our lives. And they all start with C. The first set of people are called your confidants. These are the people who are for you regardless of whatever you do. You can be right, wrong, or indifferent, but these people will always ride for you. Your ride or dies, as they say. And the reality is, you only have few of them in your life. So those are one. That's one set of people. Then you have in your life these constituents. These aren't people who are focused on you or so into you, but these are people who are where you have a shared or common goal. But the difference is with this particular set of people that as soon as they meet someone else who can better further their agenda, they're going to part ways with you and connect with those people because it's about advancing what the agenda is. And then lastly, you have this third set of people called the comrades. It's not that they're into you, and it's not that you all have a common goal or shared goal, shared vision. It's that you have a common enemy. So you get together just to take out the greater enemy. But once that enemy has been addressed, that issue has been addressed, you part ways and you do your thing. So why is that relevant to making your dream public? Because you have to be careful who you share it with. You have to be wise, because it's about fueling what God is showing you. And it will always be confirmed in Scripture. It will always be aligned with Scripture. So it's not as if you have these wonderful creative dreams. We have these wonderful creative dreams. We stay in this world of isolation. God will not operate outside of what he has communicated to us in Scripture. So you have to be careful, because if you don't properly identify people in your life through prayer, we can make the mistake and share the what the Bible talks about, the pearls of our hearts. We can make the mistake and share that with the wrong set of people, and that can lead to catastrophe and possibly derail us from becoming what God's intended us to do. So I say all that to say, if you're not in a small group and you're going through this study, please get connected. This is I showed you the picture. It has been an amazing journey building. It has not been perfect, but it is wonderful to have an authentic group of people that we can share life and who are in the same pursuit, who are in the similar pursuit to become all that God's purpose for them to be. And so that being said, family, lean into your faith. Take a step of faith for those who may be on the fence. Take a step of faith and see what God can do for you in showing you what his purpose and plan is for your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the truth of your word. God, I thank you that you are faithful even in the times where we are faithless. Lord, I just ask your continued guidance and wisdom, and just where there are opportunities, God, that we will not delay, but we will jump in and get a chance to build and grow closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for this journey. And God, thank you for what you have in store for us. It is truly exciting to know that God, for everyone in this world, you have something uniquely designed for us. Help us to lean in more, to trust and rely on you. And God, with the confidence in knowing that as we take our steps of faith on this journey, you will respond and you will show up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.